Howdy, friends and neighbors. Long time no see. I'm back. That's right. It's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It means it's time for an episode of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. This one, episode 27, titled Denny After Dark. And with that, guess what? Did you miss me, baby? Because, honey, I'm home. It's great to be back after, I believe, 3 weeks off. I have been away from the fun and the insanity, but guess what? It's not insanity, it's Loganity. That's kind of my thing. Hello, Matt Maher, you beautiful man, you. How are you, my friend? Yeah, luckily, I don't do this alone, or else it would just be a montage of this. And while I am a hoot, we don't want to take away other people's opportunities. So with that, let's bring him on in here. The best man, the open wheel guru, senior open wheel guru, and a man that I have on good authority just put down a mighty fine meal at record rate. Colin Best, come on in here.
Yeah, we eat fast in the Best household. It's great, Logan, that you are back. I hope you had a fantastic time off. We're looking forward to talk some playoff racing, some Bristol racing. But my first question to you, my friend, did you celebrate on Monday National Cheeseburger Day?
In my heart of hearts, I didn't. I've had a lot of cheeseburgers lately, believe it or not. Not that that should be stunning to anybody watching this show. So I'm a little burgered out. So I've been eating a little chicken. I don't know. We'll have to ask the producer what we ate on Monday. But I don't think. But in my heart of hearts, believe me, I always celebrate National Cheeseburger Day. Frankly, every day is National Cheeseburger Day. Let's ask how they do it up north. Let's bring him in, the show creator. A man who I know loves a good cheeseburger. Let's bring him in. Adam Carabine, come on in here, buddy. Come on in here.
Well, hello.
Can you have a National Cheeseburger Day? Or?
I mean, I thought, Logan, that pretty much every day is National Cheeseburger Day for you. So
ain't no doubt about it.
I don't think I had one on Monday, but I didn't know. I wasn't aware. So
that's right, baby. Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese. Oh, yeah.
Sounds good.
SpongeBob's happier,
yeah. But no, we got the gang back together. I'm excited. We got, everyone's here. Look at this.
Yeah, you guys. Hell, the gang's all here. Let's all have it.
Never looks better.
What's more important is that I won.
Hey, let's not. No spoilers. No spoilers.
No spoilers. I've been a good loser for 20 something weeks.
Good is an objective statement.
You're the Carlos Sainz. Of our,
I am the Carlos Sainz
of our group here.
Racing Refresh. I'm like Ferrari. We're loved by many, adored, and now this face is a moneymaker. Obviously, I am Salt. I'm the MJF of Racing Refresh, whereas he wins a lot more than I do. But yeah, we had another winner in F1. Can you believe it? It's like Christmas.
Listen, you're jumping all over the place.
I know. I'm just excited. We're all the gang's back together.
Let's not forget about our fourth member here.
All right, let's bring her in. Let's ask her what we had to eat on Monday, because I'll be dadgum if I don't remember. Let's bring her in, the show producer and the woman that keeps me going as straight as I possibly can. And with my crooked feet, that can be a challenge. Let's bring her on in here, producer Peggy. Peggy, what did we eat on Monday? I don't remember.
I don't know what you had, but I had Olive Garden.
Well, you mean we weren't together on Monday?
I went out to eat with my brother for his birthday, and you weren't there.
His birthday is National Cheeseburger Day. I am so getting a fake ID. You telling me? Man, that's ridiculous.
Anyway, well, you'll have to fill us in later, Logan, if you think of what you ate on Monday.
All right. I think I had some Italian sausage. I think I put down some Italian sausage. I did have a cheeseburger, actually, believe it or not.
There you go.
And I had a lot of steak fries. It was a ridiculous amount.
See, steak fries are the top tier fries.
They're absolutely S tier. No question. Matt wants to know, did your brother get a cheeseburger?
At Olive Garden?
Shrimp and chicken Alfredo.
I will say, since we are speaking about cheeseburgers, Olive Garden is the McDonald's of Italian food.
It was the first time I've ever had it. I've never had it before, really? Other than Monday.
Was it as good as you thought, or is it good as everyone thought? Because I have severe gastrointestinal problems.
I guess we can mark that as a potential sponsor off the list, Adam.
Yeah.
Man, if Olive Garden said, we'll give you $1 million to sponsor me, I'd turn them around and say, no, I have standards. I have moral ethics.
I don't think they have a happy hour at Olive Garden. So they're out already anyways.
I'm going to be honest. It wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. The breadsticks weren't as good as I thought they were going to be. They did not refill them after we ate them all.
Wow.
And I also had gastrointestinal issues.
Let me tell you what, when it comes to my breadstick refill, I'd have flagged somebody down. You gotta see me at a Red Robin with the bottomless steak fries. Garcon.
I'm pushing for 2020. Happy hour. Yeah, we need an Applebee's sponsorship because they do have happy hour.
There you go.
And Matt Maher's not wrong. We can interview Matt Harmon every week because I don't know if you guys ever saw. I know the show's gone off the rails, but it's been a while since we've all been in the same room together. He does statistically better when there's an Applebee's close to the track when there's not one. It is just a fantastic stat. It's glorious.
Yeah.
And
not be providing those gastrointestinal issues for him because
he gets the 2 for $20 and uses it on himself.
Oh God, isn't this good stuff here, folks?
Oh gosh.
Now that we have reviewed all sorts of restaurants, and by the way, I tried the Applebee's all you can eat buffalo wing deal, the boneless wings. It was okay, not as good as I thought, but it was all right.
You know what is good there? The quesadilla burger.
It is mighty fine.
Adam's looking at us like he's the disappointed dad right now because the show's gone completely off the rails.
I don't know why.
We're only 8 minutes in, you guys. Come on.
But I will say,
tighten it up.
Boneless wings are not wings. They're just chicken tenders. They're just small-ass chicken tenders that you eat with a fork. That's it.
They're good, though. I'm good with that.
I'm a boneless guy, all right?
I'm a bone guy. I like that bone. I like that hard bone. When I bite into it and I gnaw.
Why do I need to work for my food? Anywho, it's time for our week interview.
Burn calories. It's like Planet Fitness.
What's wrong with adult nuggets? That's what I want to know.
Matt Maher agrees with you there, Colin.
Thank you.
You're both entitled to be wrong. It's fine.
By the way, you can read Matt Maher's 30-second reviews on racingrefresh.com.
That's right.
Absolutely. He's back and better than ever, baby. He's back and better than ever. He's a member of the family.
If you miss the race and you have a short amount of time to catch up, then we've got the perfect thing for you. Matt Maher's 30-second review.
Well, after that intro, we got a short amount of time to catch up. Let's do this.
We're running out of time the longer we talk about Applebee's, you guys.
I'm hungry, fellas. Corey Heim won, and he earned a spot in the final four. I'm going to ask it again, boys. We got to move quick now. Adam, is Corey Heim your truck favorite?
I'm still leaning Zane Smith, but I think Corey Heim gives Zane Smith the biggest run for his money.
Colin, same to you, buddy.
No, I still think Christian Eckes is the guy to beat in the truck series right now.
All right. Okay. Any overarching thoughts on the truck series before we keep on moving it?
I didn't watch the truck race, so.
Same.
Okay, so we're all in agreement.
Same.
It was a night going against Eagles and Vikings. Like, what do you think?
It was a tough sled, and I don't want to see the ratings because I didn't do my part. Xfinity Series, I did watch that. Justin Allgaier won the first race of playoffs. By the way, also announced he's coming back for another year in that 7 car. You can check out the press release on racingrefresh.com. I still don't look at Justin Allgaier and say Xfinity Series favorite. He's becoming an Xfinity Series lifer, pardon me, similar to Elliott Sadler. Colin, I'll come to you. I got John Hunter Nemechek is still kind of my favorite. What say you?
I think it would be hard to go against John Hunter Nemechek in the Xfinity Series playoffs, considering how consistently good he is. But all it takes is just one race in the championship 4-round at Phoenix. And let's say John Hunter comes out with a bad night and Allgaier comes and nails the setup, then he's the Xfinity Series champion. We can talk all about all season long that John Hunter Nemechek was the class of the field, but when it gets down to it, there's only one race to decide a champion. But, you know, if Allgaier does win the championship, I mean, if you look at the numbers that he's had this season, he's run good. He's had a couple of wins. I mean, that's a championship season to me. So, I mean, it really doesn't matter who wins the championship. They both deserve it.
That's what Denny Hamlin fans often say, and that's just not true. Anywho, look, I enjoyed the Xfinity Series race. The big stick out besides Allgaier winning, of course, Dale Jr. was back for one of his one or two starts this season. He will again return to the car in about a month's time at Homestead. That's right, we're going to Miami. I mean, Miami, as Will Smith once said. So, Dale Jr., 47 laps led. You know, he was starting to have some doubt about his ability to still do this at a high level. Adam, I'm going to come to you. Were you surprised at the success that Dale Jr. had? Yes, the night ended in a mechanical fire, whatever happened inside the car. But all can aside, he looked like the guy to beat there for a little while. Were you surprised Dale Jr. looking so strong?
I don't know if I was surprised as far as like his talent goes. Like, clearly he's a talented driver. And so, you know, I more was just like surprised to see that there wasn't as much rust to shake off as I expected. You know, the rest of the field is doing this every week, right? And he comes in for a one-off race and is suddenly at the front of the pack. I mean, you got to imagine he's given himself, you know, pretty darn good equipment. You know,
he is. I would have running the show.
I mean, maybe not as good as his playoff drivers, but I don't know. Yeah, I suppose I wasn't surprised to see him get up there, but I was surprised just, you know, that he did it as fast as he did, you know, just one race in and been in a car since last year. Right. So yeah, it's impressive. I think if he wanted to, I don't think he wants to, but I bet he could make a run as an Xfinity driver, but I think he's moved on from that. So.
Yeah, I don't think his wife and family would allow him to race the super speedways, and I don't even know if NASCAR would allow him to race the super speedways with his concussion history.
Right.
But certainly, Dale Jr. proves that he still has it. Keep in mind, he's just a month shy of his 50th birthday. Pretty incredible to think that the Junebug is going on 50. Colin, were you surprised at how great? I'm not talking about. I thought a great night would be a top 10. You know, like Adam said, he does this once, twice a year, tops. You know, you're behind the eight ball. There's just no doubt about it. So, Colin, were you surprised at just how good Dale Jr. was and being in true contention to win? And if not for that fire, potentially winning the race?
No, I wasn't surprised. I think for Dale Earnhardt Jr., where he comes and does these events, he shows up and has fun. And the numbers back it up that he hasn't missed a step, as I think he's only finished outside the top 10 once in any one of these starts. He's led quite a lot when he does come back to these Xfinity Series one-off or two-offs that we get per year. So for me, I'm happy for Dale Jr. I mean, he still races in the late model series. I mean, he runs the Cars Tour. I mean, that's to give some experience. And he's more of a short track guy than a big track guy, but you know, tracks like Bristol, tracks like Homestead do fit to his driving style. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Dale Earnhardt Jr. runs up front at Homestead later this year.
We certainly would love to see that. Because, frankly, it doesn't matter if you're a Dale Jr. guy or not. I wasn't a big Dale Jr. guy during his career, as far as his full-time career goes. But it's hard not to root for him now, now that we're looking at the sport from a bit of a different lens, trying to do this media thing. He's such a great ambassador for the sport. So I kept thinking, man, if he wins, that'd be just wonderful for the sport as a whole. So hopefully he has a great run at Homestead here in about a month's time. Really exciting to see him do so well. Matt Maher did say he thinks that it's Justin Allgaier's year. Matt, respectfully, I got to disagree with you. I know that he's the one locked in, and so that makes me sound a little foolish, but that Loganity name is only part gimmick. There's a lot of truth to it. I just feel like it's John Hunter's year. Of course, everyone is correct when you say it comes down to Phoenix, because let's be honest, on paper, it was probably Noah Gragson's year last year, and then it came down to Phoenix, and it didn't happen. So we'll see what happens there. Looking forward to moving even further down the playoff line, if you will. But let's get to the main event. You know, we've talked a lot of food, so therefore we've had a lot of appetizers. It's time for the entree. In the Cup Series, Denny Hamlin won, and then, you know, all the women should have been happy because, let's be honest, folks, he showed his whole ass. And I've heard it's a glorious one from the ladies' perspective, or the male if you swing that way, whatever. I don't care. So Denny Hamlin won, and then he put a masterclass on how to be a wrestling heel for some reason, because apparently that's a qualification for driving toward Denny Hamlin or being Denny Hamlin. Colin, I know you're going to disagree with me here, so let's go at it respectfully. He got the win, and that's great, and he advances, and he wins Bristol, and it's arguably a crown jewel. It's at least a crown jewel's attractive sister. And so, great, but he gets out of the car, and then he says, the big quote is, I beat your favorite driver, and I forget who was doing the post-race interview. And ask which one, and he goes, all of them. And while that's going to sell T-shirts, magnifique, it's not exactly you know, it's not exactly acting like you've been there when you won 50-plus times. Colin, what do you think of that? What do you think of Denny's degenerate behavior? How's that for alliteration?
you sound like, as Pat McAfee says, the old whites. Those old whites. I mean, I was totally fine with it. This is Denny being Denny. I mean, he knows how to get a reaction, and I loved it. Why are we hating on what Denny Hamlin said when we want drivers to show more personality in the sport? It's like we want drivers to show more personality in the sport, and then when they show personality, we hate them for it. I don't understand this. That's why you don't like Kyle Busch, because he's an ass, and I'll say that he's an ass for sure, but, I mean, he plays his part. He doesn't wear the white hat. He wears the black hat in NASCAR, and it seems like that has been given to Denny Hamlin or sort of a contact high when Kyle Busch was at Joe Gibbs Racing. Now, Denny Hamlin has certified himself as the top heel in NASCAR, as the top baby face would probably be Chase Elliott. We're awaiting a WrestleMania match between the two. Obvious it's going to sell out. Obvious it'll be the main event of the second night, because it's not a first night main event. It's a second night. It's a draw. But I will say, Denny Hamlin did an interview a couple hours ago, and he said this is his time. I feel like, honestly, this is the best chance that Denny Hamlin has to win a championship in his career. If he doesn't do it this year, it's never going to happen.
I feel as though I've heard those words before. Maybe not from you, Colin, but there's been a lot of years where, boy, it feels like it's his time, and then he... Oh, sorry. I was choking. Must have been that Coke Zero. Adam, talk to me. What'd you think of that post-race behavior? Colin, I respect what you're saying. Oh, well, you want personality until the show personality, then you don't like it. I think there's a right way to be a little cocky, and then there's a wrong way to be a little cocky. I guess you could certainly argue that, you know, what's it matter to Denny Hamlin? He's got four other fans outside of Colin, by his own admission, his own count. Adam, what say you on the behavior of Denny Hamlin post-race?
I actually think that Denny is a little more sensitive than he tries to let on. I think Denny does not understand why he's getting the boos he gets. And in his heart, I think he thinks he is a great guy and he shouldn't be getting booed. And I think this is his reaction to those boos, is that he's like, you know what? You want to boo me? Then, you know, I'm going to come out and I'm going to taunt you because you're hurting my feelings. And I know that sounds maybe silly, but I really do. I do get the sense that he is maybe trying to put on a braver face than maybe he's actually feeling on the inside. And you know what? Fair enough. I would not want to be booed by anyone. I imagine that's not fun. And, you know, he is the hero in his own story, right? And he's getting booed. And so, you know, I don't know. I think he's sensitive, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the, I guess, whatever you want to, the behavior afterwards, just because, like Colin said, yeah, I don't know. I think it makes for great stories, and we like that. So, but I think it's less of him being an ass and more of him not knowing how to react, you know, without crying, I guess. I don't know. Better that than to cry. So
look, no one respects the art of compensation more than me. But at a certain point, this is getting ridiculous. Matt Moore makes a good point. He said, it just feels like Hamlin is going to put his foot in his mouth out down the road during this championship run, and I don't think it'll end well for him, not making any friends on the track. That is a very noteworthy point, as we talked about early in the season. Not early, but earlier in the season with Ross Chastain, Mr. H brought up the point that you can't win a championship if you don't have any friends out there on the track. And currently, I'd imagine that Denny Hamlin is as lonely as America during the COVID crisis of 2020. Because, let's be honest, there's not too many. I mean, he's going to have two built in Tyler Reddick and Bubba Wallace. But beyond that, I mean, I guess you're going to stick out for your teammates, even though I suppose. So I think MTJ would certainly probably live by that credo. He's one of the last of the old schoolers. But you think Ty Gibbs is going to go out on a limb for Denny Hamlin if need be, or Christopher Bell? I'm not sure that Ty Gibbs would cross a mud puddle if Denny Hamlin crossed an ocean for him. I don't know. I'm just speculating. Here's my thing. I understand leaning into it, and, you know, I get it. That's kind of entertaining. But here's the difference between NASCAR and professional wrestling. Colin, you and I are both huge wrestling fans. But at this point in 2023, we're all in on the show. We all know that while the physical aspect is very real of wrestling, the character part is not. The character part is not, and so we're all in on the let's play along and boo this guy. Why are you antagonizing what is a real sport, a real fan base, and those people help, quote unquote, pay your checks, buy your products? How does that inspire anyone to want to use FedEx or Mavis Tire and Brakes or whatever it's called, or the products that he owns and helps promote with Dr. Pepper, Columbia, and other things like that? So, Colin, my question to you is, it's a little counterproductive, don't you think? And again, leaning in on entertaining as hell. I get it. Fine. Hey, all good. I like MJF too. Here's the kicker. Deep down, MJF is a gimmick. And maybe Denny Hamlin is too at this point. But NASCAR's not professional wrestling. You really are insulting people. We're not all in on the joke or the work of it. So don't you think there reaches a point, and maybe he's going to cross it, where it's like, why do I want to support you and buy your products? Why wouldn't they want to not go to FedEx or Dr. Pepper or, I don't know, Domino's Pizza or whatever? You got that, my point. There's a lot to unpack there. Go ahead.
Well, where is the line? Because no one can define where the line is. I mean, the line, I would assume,
I think it's different for everybody. I think it's different for everybody.
Yeah, so if it's different for, let's say, I mean, could Chase Elliott go out there and say what Denny Hamlin said and get away with it? Absolutely. I think he could. We're just hating on it because it's Denny Hamlin. I don't think the majority of the NASCAR, there's like four or five guys at the top of my head where if they said the same thing that Denny Hamlin said, they would be absolutely crucified for one reason or another. Kyle Busch is probably one of them. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say Kyle Busch is probably one of them. We'd expect it out of him, but I would say Bubba Wallace, definitely, for sure. Ty Gibbs, definitely, for sure. Joey Logano, definitely. Like, I mean, we're talking about three guys who are, like, off the track, really good people. I mean, but they understand that there's a vocal side of the fan base that is kind of, I mean, if you look at it on Facebook and social media, they're kind of dumb. They're not the best fans in the entire world, and they'll go after every little thing. I'm sorry, that's just true. If you go on NASCAR Facebook, it is the worst place.
It's bad. It's bad.
I think so, but I also think that, let's not generalize all of them out of respect. Let's call them, there's a contrarian portion of the fan base.
The majority of it's negative.
Yeah.
The majority of it's
very agreed. Agreed with that.
And on NASCAR Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it, it's mostly positive.
I'm not paying a monthly fee.
You don't have to pay a monthly fee. I don't pay for it. And I'm still roaming around and lurking, and well, I use mine for work, but it's different. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with Denny Hamlin. This is the same. I mean, Kyle Busch played the gimmick, the heel for years, and we only love him now because he's with Chevy. He just did a face turn, and he became like John Cena running through, looking like a bowl of Fruity Pebbles. That's what he looks like right now. That's an inside joke. That's a Rock reference, if y'all get that. So I mean, I don't understand. I don't think Denny, the line that Denny Hamlin would have to cross would be so severe that I would stop supporting him, and that would be like a Kyle Larson, Noah Gragson-esque type thing that we have to do, which I think Denny Hamlin is smarter than that, than both of those guys combined. I don't think he's that stupid where he likes something without like actually thinking about it first, or say something without thinking about it first.
I don't know. He's made some wild memes in his day.
I mean, yes, he has. And I mean, I'm not going to say that, you know, time does grow people. I mean, I shared really bad stuff in 2013. Sure. Luckily, I deleted all of it so you can never see it again. Not saying it was bad. I'm just saying, like, it makes me look like a weeb or something. Sure. Like, makes me look like I lived in my mom's basement for years and years and years. But, you know.
For the contention of our fans who live in their mom's basement, there's nothing wrong with that, just for the record. So
I love Hot Pockets.
Adam does look like he lives in
his basement. I love Hot Pockets. How about you?
I love Hot Pockets. I like pizza rolls. The White Castle, frozen White Castle burgers. You put them in the air fryer for a little bit, get them all warmed up.
Do you guys remember, it was a couple years ago when Chase Elliott did the, Happy Christmas and Merry Off-Season to Harvick? Yeah,
that's fine.
I'm just saying, cool. Like, the reaction was not nearly as bad for Chase Elliott.
Because he's the most popular driver.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Yeah,
I think that plays a part, but also let's keep in mind that was Chase Elliott talking to Kevin Harvick. That is not Chase Elliott calling out Kevin Harvick fans or the fans of the sport. I do think that even Chase, all right, maybe not Chase Elliott. He's like NASCAR Jesus.
I mean, like, but Kyle Busch is Chicago.
I think 90% of drivers, if they were to call out the fan base like that, would probably get maybe not quite the vitriol of Denny, because he has a certain unlikable quality to a lot of folks. But I don't think it would be a very positive reception for 90% of the drivers in the garage. Again, there are a few like Chase Elliott that, yeah, could pretty much literally take a dump on the track and they cheer it. But I think that's a very, very small, minute number of the garage in the grand scheme. That's just my thought. I'll have you, Adam, kind of play tiebreaker here. What do you think of my point of, like, at what point does it go from harmless kind of wrestling heel fun to, all right, now I don't want to support your products. Now I don't want to buy Dr. Pepper. I don't want to support your team. I'm not going to buy. Because let's be honest, this is – we'll get into it during Happy Hour Headlines very shortly. But we learned again this week that it's a money-driven sport. And not unlike, but more than almost any other major sport, we as a sport are dependent on fans to pay our product. So what do you say about that?
I think it depends on the severity of what you're saying. I think there are some brands out there that are okay. I mean, obviously FedEx is fine with what Denny said. I think it's probably, FedEx has been his longtime sponsor, and anytime he's involved in some sort of controversy, I'm sure they get a few more views, and they don't seem to care as far as that goes. So I don't know. I don't see it as an issue. And maybe if you're that type of personality in NASCAR, then maybe that's the type of sponsorship you need to seek out, as someone who is okay with that. And then, for the William Byrons of the world, or, I'm just thinking of people who don't seem to ever be involved in any controversy. They can take those other sponsorships that are, a little more sensitive about what their, how their product is represented.
I just, I'm not claiming one side or the other on this sort of thing, but I just think they're all interesting points to bring up. Matt Marr says, and then we'll move it along here. The majority of these evil personalities on track is proving a point. Hit that comment again for me, one of you. Thank you so much. Is proving a point to fans outside the NASCAR community that it is the WWE of motorsports, the gimmicks, and these personas that drivers show and have been something that can be literally written into a script. Look, I'm not saying that they're not the personality sometimes cranked up to 10, and it's obvious at this point that Denny's like leaning into it. But again, when you come to a NASCAR event, nothing about this says work in terms of, I mean, kayfabe. Adam, you're not a wrestling guy. Kayfabe is the playing of your character or your role.
It's not dead.
Well, yeah, for the most part. It's on life support at the very least. But so there is no kayfabe idea. When you go to nothing about what you go and cover, Adam, at the track, or what hopefully next year I will go and cover at the track. None of that in your head when you go, that guy's playing a persona. And so that's where I'm like, at some point you're going to mix it all up and jumble it. This isn't supposed to be professional wrestling. And that's nothing. I love professional wrestling. Greatest entertainment form in the world, in my opinion. But that's not what NASCAR is. And so I think at some point you got to, if you're Denny Hamlin or Kyle Busch a few years ago, I think you find the line. And I think that you don't want to cross it because, again, we shouldn't all be in on a quote-unquote work or joke here. That's just my particular thought. But that's just, again, my opinion. Let us know what you think in the comments below. Matt, we greatly appreciate you. He said, as a fan racing general, one thing I've learned no matter the level of racing, NASCAR, CarShore, local track, is that if you want the sport to stick around, you need to support those that support racing, regardless of driver fan base. I agree. And for the most part, racing fans do a wonderful job of that. Colin, you and I have talked at length about how NASCAR fans and motorsports fans in general were the most We are the most loyal. I mean, I'm drinking a Coca-Cola right here. We're the most loyal as far as brand supporting goes. You got a Denny Hamlin diecast sitting on your desk right now. That's the way it goes. I got a Legacy Motor Club hat 5 feet from me. We cater greatly, and I'm sure you've got Martin Truex stuff within your genre stuff.
My Martin Truex shirt was stolen from me in Italy, but I'm on the hunt for a new one. So.
Oh. All right, Peter, we just found a Christmas gift. You got me? All right.
I saw the Bass Pro Shops in Italy and thought, ooh, I want
it. But let's move it along because I know, a lot to cover. Logano, Harvick, and Stenhouse Jr. and McDowell were eliminated. I can't say that Logano is a shocker. I mean, he's a defending champion, but it just hasn't been Penske's year for whatever reason. You know, jokes aside, but, you know, giggles and all that sort of thing where we all kind of give each other the business. It hasn't been Penske's year. So I'm not overly stunned by that. And I know that I called Kevin Harvick to not make that next round. And, hey, always thinking. But if you'd have told me that really after the first two races, I'd have said, look, I think I was wrong, as hard as that is to say. It was quite the collapse for Kevin Harvick to not make the round of 12. Respectfully, I don't mean that with any haste or any sort of. There's no tang on that sauce, if you catch my drift. It's just the reality is they went into Bristol, and anything that could go wrong for them went wrong for them. What is your guys' biggest surprise out of those guys that got eliminated? What's your biggest surprise, and then maybe elaborate on why? Colin, I'll start with you.
I think Joey Logano is probably the most surprising one to be eliminated, considering how he was eliminated. He was caught up in an accident that unfortunately wasn't his fault. He just had nowhere to go, and you know, now he's out. I mean, a defending champion to go out in the first round is always going to be surprising, no matter what, because, I mean, they're the best. I mean, they're the guy who you have to beat every single year to put yourself on the pedestal and think, I'm championship worthy. So I think that was the most surprising. Outside of that, I mean, I didn't think Kevin Harvick was going to make it far in the playoffs. I thought he would be a next round elimination, not a this round elimination. So, I mean, I'm kind of surprised. But, I mean, with Michael McDowell and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. being eliminated, that wasn't a big shock at all. So I was pleasantly surprised, but I will say – I think, you know, having a playoff race, a cutoff race, is probably one of the most exciting races in all of NASCAR, especially this one's at Bristol. I think for 500 laps, you were absolutely tuned in, and you really can't put a pause on what you want to watch, or you can't draw your attention away until the white flag flies on lap 500 to really see who made it in. And Bubba Wallace made it in by this much to go on to the next round. So good for Bubba to advance, but it was a pretty decent first round of the NASCAR playoffs, I got to say.
Yeah, I tweeted this out on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. I don't understand the playoff hate, and I understand, like, and I know that sounds so foreign and for me because I'm mostly a traditionalist on this show, right? But there is a point where evolution has to happen, and to say there's not entertainment value in these points battles, I mean, I was glued. I mean, of course, I'm watching every race anyway, but I was absolutely glued, and it was amazing to watch. Just, oh, this pit stop changed everything. Or, oh, my goodness, that crash with Logano and Dylan and Haley, that changed everything. And it's just one of those things where I understand it's convoluted and made-for-TV drama. What isn't at this point? There's not a sport in the world that hasn't adjusted their something major to make more convoluted TV drama. For example, baseball. I just was in Cincinnati today watching the Reds. The Reds wouldn't be in playoff contention at all if they didn't add a third playoff for third wild card spot in both leagues. Every sport is doing it, so I don't understand. And I'm not disrespecting old school NASCAR fans. You're entitled to feel however you want to feel and voice that opinion on Racing Refresh social media all you want. But I don't understand why you give NASCAR such haste about it, when every other sport has also changed and done convoluted things to make for TV drama, because we live in a world now where it's really hard to keep everybody's attention, especially as you get towards the younger generation like the three of us. And then when you get even younger than us, it's really hard to keep their attention. And so I just think that the NASCAR fan, the old school NASCAR fan, is a little unfair about the playoffs, because every other sport is doing major things to add in a little bit more pizzazz and convoluted made for TV drama. And that isn't to say it's not. It is, but this worked. And I thought it was a good Bristol race, and I was disappointed to see the ratings so down. Obviously, Saturday night, college football is king. Y'all watch college football up there, Adam?
I mean, some do. I'm not a big CFB guy myself.
But...
Well, he's not American, so it doesn't matter.
All right.
His opinion doesn't matter.
Who would I cheer for? Like UBC? I don't know.
You cheer for whoever you find an affinity for. I don't know. Do you agree with me on that, Colin? Do you think that the old school fans are a little too tough on the playoffs?
I mean, yeah, but I mean, they've seen so much change in the past 30, 40 years at this point, that I feel like they're where they became fans. It's no longer the same NASCAR,
right,
that they grew up with. And I mean, when we get to that age, it won't be the same NASCAR we grew up on. I mean, hell, it's not the same NASCAR I grew up on now.
Yeah.
I mean, we were so used to the 10 race, 12 guys chase for the cup. That's what we were used to. Now we're getting used to the playoffs. They're still growing pains, but ever since we switched to this platform, every single champion who has become champion in the championship four era has been a deserving champion, regardless of how the season has gone for them. And people are like, oh, well, Kevin Harvick had the most dominant 2019-2020 season, and he didn't even make it to the final four. Well, he imploded the last three races in that round. You have to be consistent for 36 races every single year to win a championship. So it still does matter. It just matters a little bit more during the playoffs. So to me, it doesn't bother me. Hell, it wouldn't have bothered me if Ryan Newman went out and won the championship the first year. Because if he did, and he didn't even win the race, I mean, regardless of championship, whatever championship format we have going on, I mean, Matt Kenseth did it. right? I mean, Ken's won a championship and he didn't win a race. So does that invalidate the NASCAR Cup Series champion if you don't win a race? No, you were just the most consistent through 36 races. So to me, it doesn't bother me.
You know, I know it's a controversial topic, and again, everybody's totally entitled to their opinion. Adam, I know you're a newer fan, but you've also studied the old school format, right?
Mm-hmm.
So from outside looking, again, you didn't see it, but do you prefer the playoffs? Do you like that system over the old school Winston Cup era?
I do. And yeah, I mean, I guess partially because that's what I'm most used to, but I also recognize that the point system is super weird and like you need almost a degree in like statistics to quite figure out exactly, you know, the points now reset to 3,000 and they still get to keep their playoff points. And like there are some weird things. And I would say we don't watch NASCAR as much up in Canada as you guys do down there. And so when I speak to people, you know, my friends up here who don't pay attention to NASCAR and they're like, oh, it's the playoffs. Like, what does that mean? And they're like, okay, who has this many points? Like, and I try and explain it quickly. It is ridiculous. But once you understand it, it does make sense and it is enjoyable to watch. But I wonder if there's a way that they can make it a little less confusing as far as where all the points come from and how, you know, certainly I agree. Like with what Colin was saying, that was a must watch race this past weekend. And especially as a Martin Truex Jr. fan who came in 7 points out of the playoff line, it's, you know, that was a stressful race for me to watch. And I mean, I enjoyed the stress. It's, you know, enjoyable, but like, yeah, I was glued to the TV and even to the very last minute, I was like, I hope nothing happens. I hope he doesn't crash out and suddenly he's out, you know, like it really is must watch TV. So I'm all for it. And if there's a way we can make it a little more accessible to the newer fans that they're trying to bring in, I think it would be a real winner. So,
yeah, I agree. I just think it's a good discussion to have. Obviously, let us know your comments in the section below. All right, we got to move it along. Max Verstappen, guess what? Breaking news, he didn't win. I didn't know I'd say that. Colin, break it down for us one good time, brother.
Yeah, it was a very surprising weekend for Red Bull Racing from the start as they didn't even advance out of Q2. I mean, that is something that has not happened to Red Bull in a very long time. I couldn't even find the stat of when the last time both Red Bull cars didn't advance out of Q2. Now, Max Verstappen did pass some people on his way, but he fell back late and he finished in the points, but I mean, for him, it's a win or bust for Team Red Bull. And then Carlos Sainz, good for him. I think it's more of Ferrari hit the setup on a new course, a new Singapore street course that no one's ever been on before, rather than, you know, we're witnessing the downfall of Team Red Bull as we see it. I expect them to be back when we go to more familiar tracks like Suzuka or Kota. I mean, we're in Qatar. Well, Qatar is a new racetrack for this season. But, I mean, if Verstappen just wins one more race, he clinches the championship by Qatar or Kota weekend. So in the next two or three races, Max Verstappen will be a three-time Formula One World Cup champion. So to me, entertaining race. Good for Ferrari to finally have something go right for once this entire season. I think that's the biggest thing for them. And then Mercedes actually did quite well too. They've got both drivers inside the top five, and Hamilton finished in the point in top three. So it was a very exciting race. I don't like this stretch of Formula One races because you have to wake up at like the ass crack at 1 a.m. for over here on the East Coast, Adam. For you, it's in the late afternoon, so. I was tired from watching the Colorado State game on Saturday night. So I just said, I'm going to go to bed. And I forgot there was an F1 race. It was at 1 a.m. And I'm like, I got to be at church in the morning. So I don't watch
it. And then you missed the one race that Red Bull didn't win.
Yeah, got to do what you got to do. Adam, give us an NHRA update.
Yeah, so NHRA was in Pennsylvania this past weekend. We had Matt Smith winning in the Pro Stock Motorcycle. Matt Hartford, it was a good day for Matt's, I guess, wins the Pro Stock. Doug Kalita won the Top Fuel. And most importantly, maybe not most importantly, but friend of the show, Robert Height wins the Funny Car for John Force Racing. So that was exciting. We always like when John Force Racing does well, even though we're a media outlet and we're not supposed to be biased at all. So there you go.
We're not supposed to be biased at all.
Well,
something like that, right?
We're working on that.
We're journalists.
We're a bit of a ways. Hey, I think Black Flags Matter still got his credentials, so easy, pal. Said that.
Let's move on, shall we?
Yeah, let's move on to our happy hour headlines. Oh, yeah, a little neon. That's right. You just don't ever know what I'm going to say when I'm back, huh? You just don't ever know.
It's crazy.
All right. So, Matty D was released by Rackley War Racing three races early. I got to tell you, don't like this decision. Matty D had announced he was leaving anyway, but I just feel like, why are you making a breakup yucky? People have made the argument to me, well, maybe they've got something lined up, you know, with three races to go. You know, I guess that's possible, but it's not likely. And people say, well, they can only sell fun for so long. True, but you also still made an agreement. And so, yeah, you have every right to break the agreement, but I just don't understand why you give him the boot three races early. Anybody got any takes on that? Agree, disagree, hate me, love me?
I don't agree with you. I think for Matt DiBenedetto, yes, he has outperformed in the Rackley War equipment, but, I mean, to his standards, he's a former Cup Series driver running around with Truck Series drivers, Truck Series regulars, rookies. He should be up front almost every single race, and he isn't. I will say that Rackley War is kind of a crappy organization for having a history of this happening, because I think this is the second or third time in their team history in the past, 10 years that this has happened, where they just let some guy go three races in, or three races left in the season. So, yeah, for Rackley War, I think their days are numbered in the Truck Series as a whole. I don't think we'll see them on the grid next year. But for Matt DiBenedetto, I don't know if we'll ever see him in NASCAR again, to be honest with you.
I think we'll see him somewhere. I don't know where, but I mean, there's so many teams that are always piecing something together to just try to get by, that if he's wanting to do that and just kind of ride, you know, we talked about, you know, in a joking manner, Mike Harmon, you think he wouldn't give him a ride if he so desired, you know, if they could come to the right agreement. There's a bunch of Xfinity Trucks teams always trying to put something together to just get by and scrape by. So
does Matty D bring any sponsorship money though? Like, I think that's part of why he was let go from the Cup Series too, right?
But I agree with you on that. He doesn't, to our knowledge. But he said he thinks Matt Marr says he thinks Matty D being released especially before Dega isn't good. Whoever they bring in for will make the rest of the series nervous heading into that race. Again, I just don't understand the
depends who it is. Yeah,
I just don't understand why you give him the boot early, especially when he got you a win, and that's hard. He made the playoffs this year too. I don't quite get it. I know that Matty D is not everybody's favorite, and I get that he's got some controversial opinions. And hey, whatever, this is America; you're entitled to them. But I just don't understand. On paper, and obviously we're not in the shop. On paper, it looks like you went out of your way to make the breakup less than amicable. That's just what it looks like to me. I don't know why that is. Maybe you got a good reason for it. Maybe you got something lined up, and maybe I'm way wrong. Could be. I've been wrong before. It happens. Not often, but it does. All right. So we'll see what happens. But I personally wish Manity the best. You know, I know that with the Wood Brothers, he did not outperform his equipment, but in everything else, he certainly has. GoFast, Levine Family, and others come to mind. So I wish him the best, and I think that I'm sure we'll see him again because, I don't know, NASCAR's got a way of just having lifers hang around. I don't, you know, if you hang, it wasn't that long ago, folks, that Joe Niemczech was still starting regularly in the Truck Series. Wasn't that long ago. So you just never know. Unfortunately, some sad news to touch on. Sherry Pollack, of course, best known probably as the ex girlfriend of MTJ, passed away a few days ago. She's fought cancer for such a long time, 9 years, I believe. That was so upsetting to see that. I think I speak for all of us when I say that it's a huge loss for the NASCAR community, and you've seen the love and the outreach of everybody come together, and that tells you what a special, special lady she was. Anyone got some thoughts on that? But again, awful, awful news.
Yeah, she was an inspiring, figurehead, almost, as someone who had been fighting for a long time and kind of defying the odds with how long she was battling, and just giving a lot of hope to a lot of, other people going through the same thing. And so it's tough to see that come to an end, but a lot of the sentiment I've been reading too, just from all the statements people have been making, is just, that her inspiration will continue to live on even after she's passed away. So I feel like we should just touch a little bit, or at least like not completely ignore the Danica Patrick situation. But I think even that is just all I want to say about it. I don't really want to give it a lot of play, but we're aware of it obviously, and just don't really want to talk about it. So
I think the only thing I'll say on that, and I'll keep it respectful, is don't go commenting on what you don't know, especially publicly.
That's our job here. That's what we do on this show.
And we do a fine job of that.
Yeah.
As respectful as I can keep it, I do not understand why you would make such comments about a situation you were not readily a part of. Anywho,
I'd like to make a comment.
Sure, go ahead on that.
Yeah. You're respectful. Danica Patrick, you're a horrible, horrible human being. And you should go back to your podcast where you sprout conspiracy theories on them. That's what you should do. Get off my TV screen. No one wants you in NASCAR. Thank God she won't be in a NASCAR booth anymore. And I hate that we're going to go to COTA in Vegas and I'm going to have to see her on my F1 TV screen. And she's going to be talking about the competitors going, oh my God, but she sucks. She's a horrible human being. And it's surprising that everyone who's ever encountered her as a relationship partner has done better off after they leave Danica Patrick. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., no one at Daytona 500. Aaron Rodgers moved to New York and tore his Achilles. I think that's pretty good. I think that's better than staying in Danica Patrick's hotel or whatever.
So, yowza!
Right. I'd rather swim in a septic tank than have a conversation with Danica Patrick.
Well,
I'd come out probably with a better personality.
Well, I love your personality, and
I'm not touching that.
A horrible human being.
Let's move on. We're running behind here, guys.
Let's just work on that, Danica. Daniel Hamlin got the 31 Cup ride. A bit of a surprise. It wasn't the surprise that it probably would have been. Armgate was a thing on social media, and people were putting that together pretty quickly. If you saw, Chris Rice posted a photo of shaking the hands with the driver and then announced it Friday. But he just posted their arms, meaning Chris Rice's arm and the driver, and social media took off. And it was pretty quickly put out that it was Daniel Hemric. I think it's good to see Daniel Hemric get one more shot. I think he kind of got a bit of an unfair shake at RCR. Of course, situations are different in circumstances. I think it's good to see him get a shot. I don't have extremely high expectations, but let's keep in mind he is now an Xfinity champion. He did win one race when it mattered the most and got it DUN done, as they say. Colin, thoughts on Daniel Hemric back to the Cup Series full-time next season?
I was very surprised. All the rumors, we Adam and I talked about it last week because Logan wasn't here. But, there was a picture sent out by Colleague Racing with an arm, and it was so hairy, and we were trying to figure out who it was, and we were seeing the trophies in the background, yada, 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 and it turns out it's Daniel Hemric, and he never won any of those races. So it was Yeah, it was a total red herring. But to me, I think Daniel Hemric, congratulations. He is a now a Cup Series driver. We're going to see how well he can do. He's only won one race in the Xfinity Series, and that was the race he won the championship in. So we're going to see what you got, Daniel Hemric. You got to step up to the plate and hit a couple home runs.
We shall see. Yes, Matt Marr's right. Lane Riggs is running three races for Colley this year. He's very excited about that. I think it's great, too. Colley's going through some changes. I'm getting the feeling, and this is just speculation and inner Loganity vibes. I'm starting to think that AJ Allmendinger is not coming back next year because we're starting to really try out some folks and, you know, a little plug and play and see what happens there. Matt Marr says he can take or leave. Even for him being back in Cup, he hasn't shown to me being able to compete at that level. I think that's a fair criticism. You know, he'll get a shot to prove all of us one way or the other next season. We shall see. Today it came out that Texas might be moving to the spring next year. Obviously, their schedule is in flux. We still haven't gotten a full-scale schedule. It's hard to believe at this point as we start entering the latter stages of September, boys. We still haven't got a schedule. I don't know, media people and fans trying to make some plans here, folks.
Bob Parker said it's coming soon. So,
I've heard that for about the last 12 weeks. You know, love you, Bob. I'm not blaming Bob. I'm saying I don't know what are we running out of ink back there at the shop or
what?
America
got fed up and said we're moving on, I guess. Eh?
Yeah, but Texas reportedly could be moved to the spring next year. Obviously, they've been in flux. They were down to one date this year. We're doing that this weekend. It was the All-Star race last year. I think Texas in the spring would work. I think having it in September is a little too hot for a lot of the fans. I know that Texas doesn't draw like it used to, and I respect that. But it's such a major market that I think you need it on the schedule at least once. It's such a major, major market. You got to have it on there at least once. But yeah, that's just my thought. I would be okay if Texas goes to the spring. And now let's get to the big piece of Happy Era headlines. This one's going to take a little time, I imagine. But Spire bought LiveFast Charter, and now Zane Smith signed a deal with Trackhouse. But the two teams, Trackhouse and Spire, have created an alliance, and they're going to loan Zane Smith out to Spire for the year. Yeah. If you're keeping up with all that, God bless you, because it's convoluted. All right, there's some malfunctions at the junction. So let me see if I got this straight, boys and girls. Zane Smith has been signed by Trackhouse. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right, but he's not driving for Trackhouse next year.
Well, because Trackhouse only has two charters at the moment, and they're already spoken for with Chastain and Suarez.
Uh-huh. And so then he's going to go to Spire, who just acquired the charter from LiveFast. LiveFast, by the way, says they plan to run part-time with an open car next season. And then they're loaning him out for a year. Is that how that's working, Colin?
I think it's going to be a year. I was reading Peggy's message about Danica. Danica was not let go from Sky Sports F1. Yeah. She should be.
There's lots of calls for it, and I've seen some doctored news releases out there saying she was, but she hasn't officially been yet.
What's your question again, Logan? I'm so sorry.
You're fine, buddy. That's all right.
Repeat the question.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me get this straight. Zane Smith is a Trackhouse product, but they're loaning him out to Spire for the season. Because it's going to be an Spire entry, Spire charter. Yeah. I know it's going to be an alliance, but it's going to be a Spire third car.
Correct.
A little convoluted, isn't it, Colin?
It's very convoluted, but I think it's for a perfect thing. Look, Trackhouse has a lot of lines in the water right now. We have SVG coming in 2024, and he's on a developmental program. We have no idea what that's going to be like, but I assume it's going to be Truck Xfinity Cup Series. Zane Smith is going to be in the Spire car, and compared to where Spire was a couple years ago to where they are now, that's somewhat a competitive ride. I do believe Like, I wouldn't say he's going to be competing for wins, but I would say top 15 or top 10, get his feet wet for Cup Series competition. But I think what it's really pointing out to is that I do believe that 1 point, Trackhouse will acquire a third full-time charter for somebody. It could be SVG. But I think Daniel Suarez right now is on the hottest of hot seats going into 2024.
Despite the fact they just recently signed an extension?
Yeah, we don't know how long that extension was.
It's true. I'm not saying that to argue. I'm literally asking because it's a lot to wrap your head around.
Yeah, well, we don't get NASCAR contracts like we do with other sports. Right. We just know he signed an extension, but for how long, we don't know. I would probably assume, let's be very conservative, that it's at least a two-year deal. So 2023 and 2024 were the part 2 years in that deal. But Ross Chastain,
it was confirmed, to be a multi-year deal. That's all they said. So it's more than 1 year, but we don't know how many.
So at minimum 2 years. But, I mean, if you look at the developing drivers coming up in the developmental series, Zane Smith and Carson Hocevar are probably the most cup-ready guys. And the worst part is they came from the truck series, which it's hard to wrap your head around that they're truck series guys, but that's how the Cup Series cars race now. So you look at the truck series to think, hey, you know, I can stick a guy from the truck to the Cup Series and he'll do great, which makes me think the Xfinity Series is just, why are you even here? So it's going to be very interesting how Trackhouse deals with this situation. But, I mean, where it comes off is I think Daniel Suarez is probably looking for a new ride in 2025. Hey, that rhymes.
Yeah. Nice. He's
going to want to make the playoffs, that's for sure.
For what it's worth, I did listen to Dave Moody on Monday, and if you don't listen to him on SiriusXM Radio, every Monday he has Justin Marks on the show. And Justin Marks said the plan is for them to have another charter and run three cars next season. Now, Dave obviously tried to kick the tires and where's that coming from? All Justin said was we're having conversations. Of course, they decided they couldn't financially afford the $40 million charter that LiveFast just sold. So they're really asking a lot. And then plus, we got to remember, we don't know the future of the charter system after next season. So LiveFast might have just committed the greatest heist of the century. Eat your heart out, Seth Rollins. But
can you imagine? Can you imagine if charters don't come back and LiveFast just runs away with their $40 million?
Well, France doesn't want them. France doesn't want them. And so we'll see what happens. But Justin Marks says the plan is to run three cars next year. So we'll see how that all pans out. But again, because that means that is that going to be Zane Smith in that car? Is that going to be SVG in that car? How's that going to work? Anywho, that's a lot of speculation, and I'm sure we will continue to speculate like nobody's business. That's kind of what we do here. But now it's time for a weekend preview. All right, gotta love that graphic. Okay, Mr. Adam Carabine, go ahead and break it down for us.
Okay, well, we're running over time already here, so I'll keep it short and sweet. We got the Truck Series has another off weekend, so they are not racing this weekend. But we've got Xfinity and Cup, as we mentioned, they're in Texas this weekend. Formula One is heading to Japan. Is that the Suzuka Circuit? Am I saying that right?
The Suzuka Circuit, the Japanese Grand Prix.
There you go. Looking forward to that. That's cool. And then NHRA is in the home of NASCAR, really, Concord, North Carolina. I believe it, Charlotte. So they will be running in straight lines all the way through North Carolina.
Yep. Wrestling fans, we call that either Flair or Horseman Country, depending on what your preferred persuasion is. So with that, there's your quick preview of what's coming down the pike this weekend. Time for some racing refresh picks.
There we go.
Oh, and for everyone, the Japanese Grand Prix is a midnight central start.
All right, so that's
midnight central.
Midnight. It's a 1 a.m. start. Yay.
Woohoo.
Well, I'm a late nighter.
I might just tune in. That'll be like 10 p.m. my time.
Oh, hooray. I live in Canada.
You know, Canada does have, you know, multiple time zones as well. I'm just
you're on Pacific time, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I could drive like 45 minutes and get to the Pacific Ocean.
Question, do you guys have like daylight savings time?
We do, yeah. Oh. It's weird, isn't it? I think we should save that for next week.
And that's been Canadian Curiosities.
There we go, yeah. recurring segment.
How many moose do you own?
What's happening?
Is it moose or meese?
It's moose.
Okay.
Singular and plural. Okay. Raising refresh picks. Colin, you shouldn't be stalling here because you were the winner last week picking Ryan Preece.
Finally!
Ryan Preece, P12. We detailed it last week. Colin has to win out the rest of the season just to have a chance, and he put his money where his mouth was. Mm-hmm. Picked Ryan Preece, P12. Very nice. I unfortunately came last after picking that Jones boy, which means I get to pick first for Texas. And I am going to pick Joey Logano is going to get her done at Texas. Next up is Logan. Who are you going to take today?
Well, let's go ahead and get another one off the board here. Let's go Ryan Blaney.
All righty. Next is Peyton, producer Peggy. Who you got this week, Peggy?
In honor of Leonard Wood's birthday on Friday, I'm going to take Harrison Burton.
All right.
Interesting.
And Colin, that leaves it to you.
I'm in such a winning mood. I don't even know who I have left. So I'm not gonna win out unless like everyone has a right rear tire failure.
I'll tell you who you've got left because we, you know, who cares? Corey LaJoy, AJ Allmendinger, Justin Haley, Todd Gilliland in the 38, Ryan Preece, not Ryan Preece anymore because you just picked him. Sorry, Noah Gregson, aka the 42. He's not racing anymore, but yeah, it's the 42. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. or Ty Dillon.
Damn. Really scraping the bottom of the barrel. Who's in the 42 this week?
Carson Hocevar.
Give me Carson Hocevar.
All righty. There you have it. We'll update you again next week, let you know how we did.
Well, I won't win the rest of the week, so this is my...
Adam, I love that you deferred to me on that, by the way. Y'all like to be like, well, who is? We don't know.
I did know it, but I forgot. So I knew we could count on you.
Tried and true here. Tried and true.
Alrighty.
All right. With that, that means like it's been a wonderful episode. It's great to be back, isn't it, Peter? But every great episode must come to an end. So that means it's time for closing time.
It's closing time.
I'm gonna go eat a sandwich and it's gonna be fun. All right. Peggy, final words.
Well, I hope you win, Logan, because that will mean Ryan Blaney won. Not one, but...
Had a pretty good day. Hopefully had a good day, right? Yeah. He's in the round 12. You didn't think he's going to make it.
That's true. I was wrong.
That's about the only time she says that, folks. Don't you love this face? Adam, final word. Yeah.
I'm glad you guys are back. As much as our show went off the rails today a little bit, it's nice to have you back. I don't feel like I do a great job of hosting without you. It's just not the same. So we're back. We got the family back together. It's great. And looking forward to another week. Maybe I might even just tune in to watch the Japanese Grand Prix. Who knows?
Suzuka's always a fun racetrack to watch race at.
Okay.
There's a Ferris wheel and shit. It's great. Anyway, I'd like to start a new segment. I know I didn't talk about this, but I'd like my final words to be screw news of the week, where I look, since I'm a journalist, I'm a real journalist. I actually work for a newspaper.
Hey, we're all real.
Well, I'm the head columnist, bud.
I work for the USA Today, so I get some interesting news stories come my way. So we go to Bagley Township, Michigan. All right, we go to the Michigan. I don't know where it was on the palm, but we'll figure it out somewhere. A woman was rescued Tuesday from an outhouse toilet in northern Michigan after she climbed in to retrieve her Apple Watch and became trapped. The woman, whose name was not released, lowered herself inside the toilet after dropping the watch at the Department of Natural Resources boat launch at Dixon Lake in Oswego County, Bagley Township. First responders were called when the woman was heard yelling for help. The toilet was removed and a strap was used to haul the woman out. The state police did not say that if the woman was injured or if the watch was recovered. So if we learned anything, is that you don't climb in toilets to drive an Apple Watch.
I think if we learn anything, it's that the price of Apple Watches is too damn high.
It doesn't tell you what Apple Watch it was, but I assume it's probably an Ultra. It's like $800.
It better be a good one if you're sticking your hand on the crapper and risking life and limb here.
My favorite part is that they didn't release the name of the woman, which I will FOIA. I will Freedom of Information Act. That's one thing America has that Canada doesn't. And I will find out whose name this was. And
I want to know if she got the watch. If not, that's you talk about a real pooper of a situation. That's a
difficult. Some poor journalist had to write that, and then as he was writing it, he was probably laughing his ass off, and he sent it to his editor thinking, this article was probably made like 10,000 views, and if you work for the USA Today, you don't get paid per click, so that probably made like nothing.
Yeah. I'll bet he thought, man, I guess I'm just doing this story from Poops and Giggles.
I'm glad to be back.
Bring her home, Logan.
It's good to be home, but we got to bring her home. And so with that, Matt Marr, we thank you for coming in and being a part of the fam, Damily. We love you, and you love us, and we're looking for you to your next 30-second read. And that's about how long I need to take here, or else Adam's gonna really, really hurt me. So with that,
we're gonna have to change the name of the show if we don't hurry up here. It's not happy hour anymore. It's happy hour and change.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go so we don't piss off old Brown Eyes over there. Hope you enjoyed the show. Always remember, please like and share and subscribe. And check out racingrefresh.com. We want to grow this thing. We can only grow it as much as you allow us. So we hope you have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the racing in Japan, Texas, and everywhere else in beautiful Concord, North Carolina. We'll see you next week right here on Racing Refresh Happy Hour.
See you. Good morning.